We adore you. Jesus, we love you. We declare our love for you in this room today. Because if it hadn't been for Jesus, where would any one of us be right now? Lord, we're so glad that you paid the price and that you gave your life and that you are the real thing today. And we look to you. And as we look to you, everything else around about our lives becomes less, becomes dim. But Lord, as we keep you in sight, as we fix our gaze upon you, everything else somehow begins to make sense. So Lord, we thank you that you are with us now. We thank you for your holy presence in this room now. We thank you that you can embrace us as we can embrace you. We can feel heaven's blessing and touch on our very beings today. You're not the Lord who is distant, but you're he who draws close. Oh Lord, and we love your closeness, and we love your intimacy, and we love the way that you touch us like no one else can. The way that you change how we think, from negatives to positives, to discouragement to encouragement, from death to life when you move. All things are made well. So Father, we come before you now. We pray, Lord, you'd open our hearts to receive the word of God today. And may this word break in. Break into the areas of our life it needs to break into. Penetrate into the darkness, Lord, perhaps, that many of us have been suffering or going through. Overcome the depression of our lives and bring us into that place of love and light and freedom in your place today. So Holy Spirit, come and have your way right now. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Please go ahead and take your seats if you will. You glad to be here? I know we can't shout too much and say too much and sing too loud, but hey, when God moves, he moves. Amen. And we just get to receive all that he has for us. Now, if you were here last week, we opened up the book of Zechariah. Let's open that up again, but let's jump a couple of chapters ahead. Hallelujah. And I will try not to get too excited or too overwhelmed and try to maintain my composure. But listen to this. Zechariah chapter 4 is a very hard chapter to contain your composure with. As we read through this, you might think, what are you talking about? Then we'll unveil this a little bit to the church today and you'll see there's a richness in here where God wants to say something. So I'm going to read the whole chapter, the whole 14 verses of chapter 4. Amen. Who loves angels? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, every time we come together, there's angels in the room. We might not see them, but they're here. And they're cheering us on to be the greater that we can be for God all the time. So there's a multitude cheering us on today. So this starts off, and the angel who talked with me came again and woke me like a man who is awakened out of a sleep. And he said to me, what do you see? I said, I see and behold a lampstand all of gold with a bowl on the top of it and seven lamps on it with seven lips on each of the lamps that are on the top of it. And there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other is on its left. And I said to the angel who talked with me, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? I said, no, my Lord. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Check out verse 7. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forward the top stone amid shouts of grace, grace to it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These seven are the eyes of the Lord which range through the whole earth. Verse 11. Then I said to him, what are these two olive trees on the right and left of the lampstand? And a second time I answered and said to him, what are these two branches of the olive trees which are beside the two golden pipes from which the golden oil, hallelujah, is poured out? Amen. And he said to me, do you not know what these are? I said, no, my Lord. Then he said to me, these are the two anointed ones who stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Amen. And God will bless to us the reading of his word. How exciting is that? Are you not impressed with that? That stuff there blows me away completely. Absolutely away. Here's something you probably know about me and most pastors, I will say. I like to get things done. Hate procrastination. Hate having to put things off. My wife will tell you I have a very little lack for patience. Patience is not a virtue when it comes to me. I like to see things happen. I like to make things happen. I like to, at the end of the day, feel I've achieved something or feel I've accomplished something. It's kind of part of my inbuilt personality. It's part of a desire, I think, that each and every one of us probably have at some level, to do something touchable, tangible, worthwhile, significant throughout your day or throughout your week. And for most of the part, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that part of my personality or yours. It is part of how God has made you and I to function in this world that he has created you and I to live in. But listen to this. My desire to make plans and get things done become a little bit more tricky when it comes to the things of the Spirit. The things of the Spirit. When it comes to, let's say, some faith issues, when my desire to accomplish something physical, let's say, comes up against the world of the intangible, then it gets a little bit different and a little bit complicated. So I had to ask myself, looking at Zechariah chapter 4, so then what do we do when this is going on? So our passage from Zechariah, I believe, offers so much help for every single one of us. And as we look at Zechariah chapter 4, yet another prophetic vision, the word of God shows us in here, and I'm sure every single one of us have seen this when we read that this morning. The word of the Lord shows us there is an unlimited supply of energy available to the people of God as they face the tests and trials when it comes to accomplishing God's holy purpose. But here's the thing. If you and I, and I love this, if we are tapped into the power source, how many think right now energy, Holy Ghost energy is flowing through my life? How many put your hands up and say, wow, I feel the power of the Holy Spirit? You see, if we are tapped into this energy source, the Lord is then going to empower us to attempt and undertake all of our tasks, even those ones that seem to be a little bit impossible. You know, we serve a God who works in that realm, who turns these things around, things which seem impossible. He steps in and all of a sudden, hey, they become simple in his hands. You see, the true, here's the thing, and it's clear in Scripture today, the true and never failing source of limitless power is he, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Who loves the Holy Spirit? I mean, I love God. Amen. I love Jesus. But right now, I love the Holy Spirit. We're a church who should love him, that person, the powerhouse of the Lord. That in the only way that we can accomplish the will of the Lord in our lives is if we are going to at some point choose to plug in to that incredible, renewing, life-giving source. So I hope we've all done that already in our lives. Now, as we approach Zechariah chapter 4, we find once again the man of God, Zechariah, experiencing the fifth of eight very special and unique visions. Now, we never mentioned this last week, but we'll mention it today. The name Zechariah means the Lord remembers. And so it was a prophetic name given to a baby born among a prophetic people. And Zechariah, you'll discover, he is actually a third generation prophet of Israel. And here we have once again, and things have not changed, so it could be you in this generation, but in our time here in the book of Zechariah, God is raising up this young man who would actually encourage his people and their leaders in a very, very difficult time of crisis. Now, look again at the chapter today. The visions that he is shown, it's clear as you go through the book of Zechariah, the visions that he was shown, some 400 years before Jesus, are incredible. They are simply astonishing. They are ridiculously amazing, because by the Spirit, 400 years, he is actually seeing the Messiah. Hallelujah. He has seen visions of the cross. Hallelujah. He's seen the end of age. He's actually having insight to the millennial kingdom of God. So as we approach Zechariah's fifth vision of eight, we see and hear a timeless, the eternal principles that are laid before us from the Word of God that are actually going to demonstrate God's power in our lives. I want to say this to the church today, whether you're sitting at home or sitting in the congregation today, this is a vision and this is a message from Zechariah chapter 4 for today. Right now, for the people of God. And what I want to do, because we don't have all morning, I want to choose to focus on the middle part. So stop what you're thinking about other thoughts right now. Just stop for these next 15 minutes and open your heart to God and try and embrace some of what God is wanting to say to you today. And myself, because I believe there are some things right now in this scripture that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us as individuals today. Now look at the middle section in there. There is an interpretation that this mighty mountain, hallelujah, this mighty mountain is actually referring to the mountain of rubble that used to be Solomon's temple. And I believe as he looked at this huge mess, these stones, these rubbles and dirt, probably feeling as they viewed it, inadequate and completely overwhelmed. And then God says to the mess, look at scripture, what are you? What are you? God is saying, listen, and at times in our life we'll experience this, so they're looking at it, and it's intimidating, and it's hard, and it's maybe even looks like now the way forward looks impossible. And I'll tell you something, guys, in our own strength, just using our own limited resources, maybe it is. Maybe for us, it's not quite possible. Let's quickly skip into something else about Zechariah. Zechariah's angelic guide, and in this book, his interpreter, now from that moment, he introduces him to a lampstand. I love lampstands. Hallelujah. They're beautiful things. But like me, when if I'd been here all these years ago, the prophet has no idea why the angelic being is introducing him to a lampstand. We know that because we're on this side of it. The lamp looked like any golden lampstand, but actually the scripture kind of relates this one to the menorah from Solomon's temple. And Zechariah may even have seen images or replicas of it while receiving priestly training from his father and his grandfather in Babylon. Now, the temple menorah, we know, was of solid gold, had numerous bowls to hold oil and then to feed those particular lamps. Look at this. But something was really different about this lamp, this particular lamp, because the scripture tells us that two olive trees, hallelujah, stood beside it, and according to the word of God, they continuously fed the seven lamps with fresh oil, hallelujah. Did you catch that? With fresh oil. Now again, Zechariah has no idea actually what this particular system is all about. So the interpreter utters words, hallelujah, he utters words that will empower not only that generation, but will forever be energizing future generations. The words he puts out there, preparing God's people actually for tests and trials and strengthening them against seemingly overwhelming tasks and odds. And here's how it goes. We throw this about week in, week out, but right here, it was even more significant. Though this is what he says. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. And we know it. We can quote it. We can say it. What is it? Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. The word came to Zerubbabel. And we might begin to think, well, who on earth was he? Who is this guy's name that we hear and the Lord is speaking to him and giving him one of the greatest quotes the church continues to use down through the generations? Who was he? Well, we'll discover that he was a governor, the Jew appointed by the Persians as the chief political leader. He wasn't a king, but he was as close to a king as they had at this time. And so he played an incredibly important role in rebuilding the temple, as we see in this passage. Let's move on quickly. Understand this. Let me throw this line in here. The word of the living God. Who loves the word of God? The word of the living God, according to scripture also here, went forth like a holy fire or like a holy flame. And suddenly, Zechariah, and this will happen for you when it comes to certain scriptures like this, because it's happened to me in years gone by. Suddenly, the man of God begins to get his head and his mind and his spirit wrapped around what is actually taking place here. His priestly and his prophetic training told him that the lampstand was truly a symbol of God's people, and the oil or the energy source was provided by God to the people of God for service within the kingdom of God. And actually, it was pretty common knowledge among those trained in the Torah of this time. Now, we have a benefit here, because today, from this particular side of the cross, we now know that the oil is actually symbolic of who? He, the Holy Spirit. And the lamp itself is a picture and type or shadow of the church of the living God. So scripture says at the end of the book, check this out in Revelation chapter 1 verses 8, then we'll skip to 11 and 13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Verse down to verse 11. Write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches. To Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned round to see the voice that was speaking to me. Listen to this now. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, hallelujah, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash round his chest. Look at verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, and of the seven golden lampstands, is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Hallelujah and praise God. So church, now I don't know about you, but I get goosebumps when that kind of stuff's going on. Kind of spiritual goosebumps for myself when I know the Holy Spirit is doing something with me and doing something in my life. Because you see, we love the church. We love the Lord, but we love His church. And church today, I hope you're seeing really clearly that we are the lampstands of God in this dark world. Are you seeing that in there today for us today? But here's the cooler thing, or the greater thing about all of this that's going on in the book of Zechariah. What I'm reading is this. Jesus Himself stands among the lampstands at the very center of His church. But then when I got there, Debbie, I had to ask, but what are those olive trees? A lot of stuff but trees going on right now, isn't there? You notice that? I love that kind of stuff. What are those olive trees? Because there seemed to be a pipe. Look at it yourself. I'm not making this stuff up. There seemed to be a pipe running directly from the trees to where? The lamps. I don't know if anybody's getting this today. See, in the tabernacle in Solomon's temple, the flames of the menorah, they burned continuously. And there was a never-ending processional of priests refilling the bowls. An entire family of priests. Let me tell you what they were called. The Kohathites. The Kohathites were in charge. These guys, that was their ministry. That's all they did. They were in charge of keeping the lamps burning brightly with the fresh olive oil. I would have loved that job. I'd love to be a Kohathite in there, around the fire, the oil, the Holy Spirit, all the time, every day, every moment. That is your ministry, to be up close and personal with the Holy Ghost. I love this stuff. Told you, I like how this works. But also in the temple menorah, the solid gold lamps were fed. Look at that. They were fed by multiple bowls which fed olive oil to the flame. Look at this. And they required constant, intense human effort. Human effort and attention to fill the bowls so that God's ministry would be continually served. Now this system we are now seeing was quite different. I am beginning to love it when things in the prophetical realm get quite bizarre and quite strange, because it says to me something supernatural is going on, and I'm praying always, God, let me see it. Let me see it. Reveal it to me. Give me clarity, Lord, to what that means. So check this out. This is good stuff, this. The olive oil was being produced by living trees. I think you missed that. The olive oil is being produced by living trees, and it's not going round about. It is being directly piped into the brightly burning menorah. It was a never-ending supply, a life-giving, self-maintaining system which would operate independent of human effort. Hallelujah. Listen, friends, today, if you're my friend, if you're not, it's okay. But listen, friends, if you're out there, this self-perpetuating system speaks to us right now of the living, ever-present, ever-full source of power that comes directly, not roundabout, directly from the Holy Spirit of the living God. This today here, if you're seeing it, is a picture some 400 years before of the coming baptism in the Holy Spirit, where what would happen? Where not old oil, no sir, but fresh oil would be poured out from on high above down to God's people to empower them for what? For life and service in the kingdom of God. Hear this today. This new and fresh oil would be poured out upon the people of God. Is there any God's people in here today? Well, that's for you then. This is for you. It's a never-ending, self-generating supply. Now, Isaiah, hallelujah, Isaiah, he also kind of saw this prophetically in chapter 61. And Jesus Christ, he proclaimed the year of the Lord's favor as fulfilled in him. Look at Isaiah chapter 61. You love this stuff, don't you? I can tell you do, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on the person next to you. No. No, it's not. No, it's not. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me and on you today, because the Lord, this is for you right now, church, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion. Mm-hmm. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. It's right there. Can you see it? Can you see it? What does it say? The oil of joy, hallelujah, instead of mourning, and a garment of, these days are coming. Don't worry, we'll not be singing alone again. These days are coming yet again for the church. A garment of praise instead of a spirit of disappointment or despair. They will be called, here it is again, more trees, oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. I love that quotation. The oil of joy for mourning, hallelujah. Praise God. Listen, guys. Listen, guys, that right there is that same, it's the identical, it's the same fresh oil that Zechariah saw, and it wasn't just trickling, listen, it was teeming. It was pouring. It was teeming through that odd kind of lampstand with the olive tree piped into it. Church, it is the joy of the Holy Spirit flowing through the church. Come on! No sad faces in the kingdom. No, sir. We'll go through our grieving and our mourning processes at the appropriate time. But when it comes to praise and worship and honor to the King, he's saying right here for you and I, it is the joy, it's my joy coming to the people of God, flowing through my body, flowing through my church. It shows us plugged into a perpetual source of power. Only you and I can disconnect from it. He won't disconnect from us. We need to disconnect from him. Look at this further on. The author of Hebrews, he more or less understood this infilling thing with a fresh, endless supply of oil when he quoted from the prophetic realm of Psalms and explained in relation to Christ. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. In speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angel spirits and his servants flames of fire. I'm not supposed to shout, Lord, forgive me. Servant flames of fire. But about, look at this, about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. I turned away. Only the back wall got it. Turned away. And then it says, and our Lord and our Savior, who's there, the Anointed One, listen to this, the Anointed One, who is The fulfillment of the year of God's favor in himself, and who was anointed above, where all with oil of gladness. He now told his disciples, you and I are part of that, as he departed this earth, that soon, very soon, this infusion of power would be upon them as it had been upon him. Who is open to that? Who's open to that infusion of power today? It says in Acts 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and then you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something, church. The Lord God has infused his people with power from on high. He's done it. His part's done. It is a limitless, boundless source of anointing oil with gladness put in there. An inexhaustible power source with a living, dynamic source. Jesus, hallelujah. Listen to this, church. It is no longer, let me be clear here. It is no longer by the efforts of human hands and human priests, no. Continuously going about and refilling the bowls of oil. It's not by might. It's not by spirit. Not by power, but it's now by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So if you're missing what's going on right now in Zechariah chapter 4, let me break it down and give it to you in one word. Zechariah is all about oil. It's all about oil. It's not old oil. It's new oil. It's fresh oil for the people of God. Jesus, have you figured this out? Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. This is how it works. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the head of the church, walks among his church now. Today, and the Holy Spirit of God fills his church right now with a supernatural, perpetual source of limitless power. But we as the church must be open to this. Must be open to this move of God. Scripture tells us, and when they were gathered in the upper room on that very first Pentecost, gathered together in unity following Jesus' promise, that power source became to them a living reality. Have you experienced the oil of joy? Have you truly experienced an impartation, an infilling of the Holy Spirit of God in your life? Are you glad to see that realm of the prophetic, signs and wonders following the preaching of the word of God, and words of tongues followed by interpretation? Do we long again to see those things manifest within the people of God, within his church? Then let the Spirit of God fill you, and then let the church of God rise up. Because I'll tell you something truthfully, the promise has not been taken from us. The promise is here today. The system that the angel showed Zechariah was a self-renewing one. It was a living, dynamic, vibrant, perpetual power source presented directly to him. And once again, it is the power of the Holy Spirit operating in and through God's very own people. It's all about church. It's all about the power source. I want to say it again. Let me put it another way. It's all about having enough fuel. Because no one in the kingdom of God gets anywhere without the fuel. Without the energy source, without the oil, without the power. Listen, the fuel for our lives, for our daily walk, the process of becoming like Christ, and then our journey through this life, when you tap into this in all its fullness, is the limitless, power, boundless power of the Holy Spirit of God working through men and women. And without it, let me tell you, without it, we stall. We stall, we run out, don't we?
Car stops moving without the oil, without the fuel in its engine. We are the same spiritually. Without the oil of God, we stall. We come up short. The energy levels run low. The vitality is not bursting out of our lives. And ultimately, we come to a place where we feel defeated. We feel down and we feel out of it. So again, I ask the question as we come to a close here, are you and I truly plugged into the source? Do we get this? Are we plugged into the source? Because this passage speaks to this. Now listen to this. Here's a little thought that came to me this week. Don't begin and then quit. I'll say that again. Don't begin and then quit. Don't start and get discouraged. Because after all, the end result isn't up to you and I, is it? When it comes down to it, we aren't supposed to, this is for pastors and leaders now, we aren't supposed to shoulder all the burden, assume all the responsibility, carry all the load. We aren't the ones in our might and in our power to make the ultimate difference. Here's what I want to say to someone today who's just starting off in this journey with the Holy Spirit in your life. Maybe or maybe make the beginning slower than you want it to be. Not too fast, not too slow. Find your rhythm when it comes to the things of God. But do not despair that things might be moving a little slower than you want them to be. Because once you begin to tap in and keep on tapping in, he just keeps on pouring out and pouring out and pouring out. So when the levels go down, he fills them up. And when the levels go down, he fills them up. But your heart has to be open to that ongoing filling of the Holy Spirit. And so in the context of the passage, the promise, the vision is this future picture of Zerubbabel actually making progress in and of the temple in our lives. We are facing, some of us are facing maybe our pile of rubble. But what is the promise? What is the vision? Let me tell you, without knowing the specifics of your struggle or your disappointments or your trials right now, because we can still confirm the promise. And here it is for us today. It is freedom and it is life. It's freedom in life. It's freedom from the weight of the burden. Hallelujah. It's freedom from the weight of sin that has held us and kept us down. It's freedom from the feeling that we have to be in control or we have to be in charge all the time. It's freedom from the pain that keeps us stuck in the same place all the time. Listen, but to get there, just to get there, we have to first of all, truly, truly believe that it's not about me. And it's not about my might. And it's not about my power. We have to truly engage and believe it's by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Then, here's some practical advice. Then we have to dig in. Some things we do. Then we have to dig in. Pull away brick by brick or boulder by boulder. Start small if you're starting out, but get to work. Get to what God's calling you to do, and all the while knowing and believing that God can, yes, he can, and God will keep his promise and deliver us to freedom and life. Would you stand with me this morning as we pray and commit this word into our hearts today? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the oil of joy, Koro Boshondai. We thank you for the oil of gladness. Kalarabo shikaraba gasi andalaba kurama satete shibakaraba sundai. We pray, Lord God, that you would minister to the people of God. That, Lord, we would not be in a place who have stalled. We're running on half empty. We are hearing today there is an inexhaustible supply of power that comes from the throne of grace. There was a power supply that if we'd reach out and tap into, our cups would run over with living water. Our substance, Lord, supply line is so vast and so great that the oil of gladness will never ever run out. We can never be dry as long as we're tapped in to all that the Holy Spirit of God has for us. So Lord, as we open up our hearts, as we open up up our hands as we stand in your presence today. Would you, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah and glory to God, would you right now, would we find ourselves becoming intoxicated with that oil of God today? Would we not resist who you are? Would we not stand back and think it's for somebody else, or somebody else has got more than I can get? You're saying to your church today, I love you and I've got so much more for you, but if you'd open your heart to God and recognize my kingdom is vast and my kingdom is great, and yes, I am coming for a people who are waiting for me in that day, but right now I'm looking for a people who will be fully energized, whose cups will be full, who will not settle and become complacent or content with the status quo, but they'll open their lives and say, Lord, here am I, use me, and Lord, fill me with the oil of God today, that I would be one of those lamps, Lord, for you, that I would not be dim and out of view and out of sight, that people would see the glory, Korobo Shondai, in my life, the goodness of God in my life. They'd be drawn and attracted to this particular lampstand, which is the child of God, because when it's on fire, it's on fire because I've impacted it with the oil of God, the oil of gladness, the oil of goodness. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, would every one of us recognize that we are receptacles waiting to be filled to overflowing with the goodness of God. So Lord, in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, touch the people of God. Saturate our minds, hearts, lives, spirits and body. Cause our containers to be filled with Holy Ghost oil, that we would in fact, yeah, leave here feeling satisfied, known we'd encountered and met the living God. Seal this word in our hearts and our lives today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all, guys. Thank you, Lord.